first step is to translate the word. Usually people translate the word ribbis, the Torah prohibits ribbis. Taking the ribbis on a loan as interest. And the problem with that, that's a bad translation. Because usually people think of the word interest, they think of the idea of something which accrues over a period of time. Ribbis is also, it's prohibited even if it's a one-time payment. Person lends $100, they should pay back $110. So it's not interest in that sense. But it's going to be the word ribbis just means it's an increase. Lashon ribui increases. The Torah prohibits lending money in such a way that you get more money back. So that's the issue of ribbis.
Does it take into account inflation? Maybe that's a modern concept, but just
actually, Chazal dealt with inflation. And we'll see. Maybe. I don't have time to get to it. Okay. So what's fascinating about this of the prohibition of ribbis is that it applies both to the lender and to the borrower. I agree with that, you know, it's you, Mr. Lender, you should not be lending money for interest. But the person who's receiving it, I forgot to get them sliced, I'm sorry. See, I took care of it this time, not Mrs. Danziger. Okay. So the Torah puts the prohibition on the malva and on the lova, the lender and the borrower. The Torah puts the prohibition on the witnesses. The Torah puts the prohibition on the person who draws up the documents, a lawyer or a secretary. The person puts the prohibition on a broker, a person who brokers such a loan. A salesman who arranged such a thing, all these things, the Torah prohibits all of that. So it's quite intense. The Gemara says that a person who lends money for ribbis, simple reason means on a regular basis, this is what he does. So he will not be one of the people which is going to the time of the resurrection of the dead. He will not be resurrected, he will stay. Famous story with Rabbi Eger. And there's a person in the city of Posen where Rabbi Eger was the rug. Well, this person lent money for ribbis to the Jews. And he was very connected to the government, etc. They didn't feel that he really had too much recourse against him. When he passed away, the Hever Kadisha decided they're going to get even on the family. They charged, they wanted to charge an exorbitant sum for the burial. So the family got all upset and they went to the governor. And the governor called in the rabbi as the representative of the city, like, you know, this is taking advantage of that person. You can't do that. He says, Your Honor, it's very simple. When a person, we believe in the resurrection of the dead, so a person gets a burial plot, it's only really a rental. So, because I can stay there forever, so you pay X amount of money. But this individual, since he lent money with ribbis, he's buying the plot forever, so it's more expensive. Okay, so it's pretty intense. This prohibition is pretty intense. Now we have to clarify the word loan. So in the definition of the word loan, in Lashon HaKadosh we have two words for lending and borrowing. We have the word halvah and the word she'ela. I'm a shoyel, I borrow something. I'm a loan if I borrow something. So what's the difference between the two? So the difference between the two is, if I'm a shoel, means I borrow something to use with intent to return it. I borrow your car, I'm going to give back your car. I borrow money, I don't give back the same money, I spend the money, I give back different money. I borrow eggs, I give back different eggs. So that's called a halvah. A shoel is when I borrow something to give back the same item. Halvah is when I borrow something, I give back, I consume it, I use it, and I give back something else in instead. The prohibition of ribbis, 99.9% of the cases only applies on a Torah level to a case of a halvah, something which is used and consumed, and then something else is given in its stead. It doesn't only apply to money, it applies to items as well. So if I would lend you 5 eggs in the condition you give me back 6 eggs, person asks them, you know, I need 5 eggs. He says, you know what, I really don't like giving you eggs, I don't like you too much. I'll give you 5 eggs, in the condition you give me back 6 eggs, he'd be over a Torah prohibition of lending eggs, ribbis. So it's not only by money.
Is it about just intention? Like, what if the other guy decided, like, I'll give you back 5, but I'll add an extra one because I'm...
So on a Torah level, it's a good question. On a Torah level, as opposed to rabbinic prohibition on a Torah level, the prohibition of ribbis is only if an arrangement was made up front. So I'm letting you on this understanding that if there was no extra payment required and the person on his own volition gave the extra payment, that's not a Torah prohibition, that's a rabbinic prohibition. But it is also mirabbanan. And that arrangement has to be made. I'm sorry.
Like shevet pruta or anything? Like, does it matter the amount?
Actually, I'm not. Less than a pruta seems to be usur. Also, I'm not sure if it's me to rice.
Because I know people have gotten upset with me when I'm like, no, here's a penny back. But you know, like it's like I bought a box of matzah for somebody in Baltimore. They wanted a certain type of matzah, and I was like, yeah. It's $14.99, so he gave me $15, and then I like went after him to give him a penny, but I wasn't sure.
Okay, so that's that wasn't really a loan, because probably not gonna get that case, but then okay. Now this the Torah level prohibition is only if the arrangement was made at the time of the loan, or let's say the loan is due by a certain time, and he comes and says, "You know, I can't pay right now." He says, "You know what? I'll extend the period of the loan, but on the condition that you pay me extra payments." So, according to the Ravid, and many Pesachim follow the Ravid, that would also be a Torah prohibition. The Torah puts an issue of arranging for this payment, even if the person never pays it. So this is a common issue you have. Let's say you have a person owns a home, and he rents it out to his apartment to somebody, whatever it is. And in the rental agreement, there is a statement: if you don't pay it by a certain time, the money which is due, you'll have to pay extra. So I'm charging you extra for the fact that there's money which is due, which is being waited upon. That's what the ribbis really is. Money which is being waited upon. So that's also to have that clause in your document, even if you never pay it. Now, if it's a Torah prohibition of ribbis, that's an issue that's usur. If it's rabbinic ribbis, so it could be it's permitted, if you never pay it. We'll see some definitions of that still.
Meaning you can't fine people for being late on their rent?
We'll get to that. So the last point that we hear about ribbis, the Gemara says the definition of ribbis is agar notzer, which means the extra payment is because of the fact that you're waiting. In other words, there has to be a time lapse. I give you $100, you give me $110. Whatever reason we agreed to this type of an exchange, that's not ribbis, because there was no loan. There has to be a time lapse between the original transfer and the payment later on. And I'm charging you because of the fact that my money is not available. Now, to understand that, you have to realize that really ribbis is to be understood. Really, ribbis is to be understood as rental for money. That's what ribbis is. It's not any different than when I rent your car, you're charging me for keeping my car, right? You're charging me for keeping your car. So I'm using your car. I'm going to pay for it. So over here, I'm using your money. I should pay for it. That's exactly what the Torah prohibited. But if there's no rental, it was in the sense that I'm not paying for the usage because there was no time for usage. There was a median. So the Torah did not prohibit that. Now, why a person would agree to that is, in most cases, the person would not agree to that anyway. But same, just on a conceptual level, that's important. So the Torah then takes that concept and says, well, once that's the rule, we can apply that to other areas, mirabonon, because Allah asked other areas as well, but only in the condition that there is such a situation. So let's go to a case of a rental of a home. The rental of a home, the payment is not for the payment of the rental is not for the. It's something which is intact. It's not something which is consumed. So that's not prohibited at all. So the rental is permitted. The money is due by a certain time. I say, you know, if you don't pay by a certain point, I'm going to charge you a penalty. So something which would be a case where it was given as a loan, that would be an issue of the rice. Torah prohibition. But since it wasn't a loan, it was done as a valid bona fide type of a rental to use an item. The halacha is that the chachamim did not prohibit it if it's a one time penalty. But if it accrues interest, they did. So you know what? If you pay past the 50th of the month, this is the cost. Okay? That's the cost. You add a $25 late fee or add 2%, whatever it is. But we say for every 10 days thereupon that you do not pay, the money increases, etc. Whether you call it whether you give it as a percentage or you give it as a set amount, if you pay late, it's $25. And then 10 days later, it's another $25, etc., etc., etc. That would be also mirabonim. Okay. Now the Chachamim came along and they asked on a rabbinic level, ribbis, which is given back payment. There was no seats at the beginning. There was no arrangement at the beginning. The person gives it back at the time of the payments, or any time during the duration of the loan. If I would give you money, that would be problematic. On a Torah level, it's only a case of a loan. But what about a case where there was ribbis involved in a sale? So that's not a Torah level, that's prohibited rabbinically, again, with some exceptions. The Chachamim came along and prohibited saw by saw. So this is the inflation question. So the Gemara makes a definitional statement that money does not inflate. The merchandise items fluctuate in value. Money stays stable. That's a halachic assumption. The money stays stable, and what changed was the value of items. So now we can have theoretically the following situation. I borrow from you. I'm a farmer and I'm running low on seeds. It's time for the planting. So I go to my neighbor and say, listen, can you give me 5 bags of seed? Whatever the size of the bags was. Gallon bags of seed. He says, 5 of those bags. He says, no problem. And I'll pay you back at the end of the season, 5 bags of seed. So now really, at a Torah level, it was a loan because it was consumed. But there's no ribbis arranged because I'm not paying you back extra. But rabbinically, it's prohibited because the value of the seeds might change. And it's potentially possible that by the end of the season, when I give those seeds back, they'll be worth more. So that's prohibited. So money to money, I've lent you $100. How can you back $100? Maybe the value of the $100 changed. The assumption is that money doesn't change. So we don't say, well, maybe my country right now is in a phenomenally good state, and the value of the currency is getting stronger, which means it buys more goods. So wow, so I lend you $100, get back $100, and this time I just made money, right? That's not true. Halacha says that hundreds of hundreds of hundreds of hundreds, but that's only the true local currency. But a foreign currency is considered to be dealt with in halacha is equivalent of payers, equivalent of merchandise which is consumed. So if I'm an American, I want to lend you. I said, you know what? I'm going down to Israel. Can you lend me? I just want to have some money in my pocket when I get through, some Israeli money. I know you have some from your last trip. He said, no, I like having. I'm going back again soon. I want to have my pocket. I said, no problem. I'll borrow 100 shekel for you over here. I'll bring you back 100 shekel. So I'm in America borrowing 100 shekel to pay back in America 100 shekel. So that would be awesome. Because the value of the shekel might change, right? And become more valuable vis-a-vis the dollar. The post can have a fascinating question is, what is the status of a dollar in Eretz Yisrael? Because nowadays, most post can hold it's a problem. Borrowing the dollars is a problem. Whereas once upon a time, I grew up with a kid, the lira still existed. Right? The lira was so bad that almost everybody did business in dollars. Mm-hmm. The question being, maybe the dollar was the true currency of the country and the lira was not. They actually discussed this issue, what the status of a dollar is. But nowadays, the shekel has become strong enough that dollar is definitely considered an outside. A common case where you have a few common cases of ribbis that people don't think about is a return an item. So So returning an item is a fascinating thing. When I return an item, because there was some problem, or because we halacha considers that the sale was annulled. It was voided.
But if you used it, you're saying.
So what happened? Reuven went to the store and bought a car. Gave $10,000 to Shimon, who owns his used cars dealership. So Reuven gave Shimon $10,000 for a car. A month later, Reuven says, "You know what? I'm not happy with the car. I'm going to give the car back. I want my $10,000 back." So Shimon says, "No problem." So he gets. So it comes out. There was never a sale. So the halacha says that this money now was a loan. There was no sale. The money was. I was using your money. I'm using your money. I'm using it under the vehicle of a loan. So Reuven lent Shimon $10,000. Reuven got back $10,000 and the car, and the usage of a car for a month. So that's a problem in the law. You can't do that. So the right way to do it is to make it as not as avoiding the original sale, but rather having it as a second sale in another direction. So Reuven says, "Listen, I have a car. I'd like to sell you for $10,000." Reuven says, "Okay, I'll buy a car for $10,000. Now the problem with that, at a practical level, is if it's two sales, you have to pay sales tax twice. And you have to, you know, there's legal. If it's true, there are legal requirements and legal implications of a second sale as opposed to a first sale. So can you split the halakhic status and the legal status of it? It's very, 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 very murky to be able to do that. Theoretically, what should happen is he should diminish some of the money because of the fact that he had usage. So that's a common issue. You buy merchandise from a Jewish merchant and you want to return it. If it's something which is food, you didn't use it. So fine, you get nothing out of it. But if it was something which could be used, you have this issue. The Chum came along and said there's a problem of two prices: the cash and credit price. So cash and credit price. He says what I'm saying is the following: I'm saying, listen, if you pay me cash, which I have the money right now. This is the price, is $10. If I have to wait for my money, so there's that word, I'm waiting for my money. Oh, I'm waiting for your money, the price goes up. So the credit price, now if I'm charging you extra because I'm using a credit card and the company charges me a fee and I want to cover my cost of my fee, that's fine. I'm not charging because of the waiting, because even if you give me the money a half an hour from now, well, I'm not waiting for anything, I would still charge you the extra. So that's why this word argonotum becomes, the fact that they were waiting for the payment becomes determinative in the halacha. But if the reason why I'm saying, well, you want me to wait for the money, to give it to you in credit, means I'm waiting for the money, I want to get extra money because of that. Oh, that's exactly what is also to do. So that's a case like that. The flip side of that is, let's say I want to do a pre-publication price. So I give you money up front, and I receive nothing in return. So there was no sale yet, because I didn't buy anything. So the payment is not a payment. It's not a payment, because right now it's a loan. Well, since you were nice enough to give me the money up front and wait to receive your item in return, I'll give you a discount. So really the price is $10. If you gave me the money up front, I'm giving it to you free. What am I saying? Since you let me $8, I'm going to give you down the road something which is worth $10. So that's also a pre-publication price would be problematic. Now, you find many Jewish magazines, etc., have such things, and there's ways of doing it which would be permitted, but a person has to be aware that's potentially a problem.
Yeah. That's a question about like a mortgage. Like, how do you have like a mortgage lender? It's like they're... If you're getting the loan, I mean, I guess normally you get the loan from a bank or something, but you get the loan from the mortgage company and you're paying back the same entity, and it's like principal and interest.
So that would be Ribbis Deraisa.
Right.
There's something called Heter Hiska, which we're not going to get to in this year how Heter Hiska works. Not enough time to do that. One last case which people are not aware of, that here's a fascinating concept in how halacha looks at something. So there's a case in halacha where we have a guarantor which replaces the actual borrower. So let's say you go to the store and you say you have bad credit, you don't have a credit card. I say, you know what, don't worry, here, I'll give you the credit card, you go to the store and you'll pay the monthly fee. Now, the credit card company is extending the credits. I'm the person on the account. So even though, really, you borrowed the money, as far as they're concerned, I borrowed the money. So Allah recognizes that. Since, even though I'm, quote-unquote, the guarantor on it, but since I replaced you in the sense that I'm going to be the one that who comes up responsible, it's as if I borrowed the money. So what happens is in Allah is the following. You go to the store, large purchase, let's say $1,000 purchase. The credit company is laying out $1,000 to me. But you got it. So how did that happen? Because it's considered as if they gave it to me and I gave it to you. I lent you $1,000. So now you owe me $1,000. So I said, you know what? Do me a favor. Instead of paying me $1,000, pay the credit card company $1,000. Okay, no problem. But let's say you do it over a period of months. So what am I saying? If you don't pay me the $1,000 right away, I'm going to charge you a fee. And the way you're going to pay it to me is by giving it to the credit card company. So that's where Mr. Rice. So I would lend someone my credit card, and they would use my credit card, and then pay the payment directly to the credit card company. I never touch the money in either direction. It's considered as if I receive the money, lent it to you, you're paying me back by giving it to him, and I'm charging you extra because I lent you $1,000, and I'm charging you this monthly extra interest. So that would be an issue to the rice. So people are not aware of that. That's a common problem. So those are some of the common problems which are out there in the world of ribbis. Okay.